little something between you and me. Don't cost you nothing, this one's for free.
Pippa, thank you so much for coming in. I really appreciate it.
I've asked you to come in because you've had problematic migraine for a long time.
Yes.
And we're going to go through some of the options to try and help your migraines be less frequent.
Right.
Which I gather is something that you're relatively interested at the moment.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Could we perhaps start by finding out a little bit more about your migraine and how your migraine has affected you and your life?
They started mainly after I had the kids. I don't know why, but that's where they started. And they were horrendous at first. Used to get them all of the time. We were in bed for 3 days. I didn't work at the time, so that wasn't a problem. But I did have 2 kids to look after. Sorted them out for a while.
How did you know they were migraines?
Because you just couldn't cope with them and you were being sick all the time and you literally couldn't even lift your head off the pillow, literally.
So what were the features that made you know or your doctors know that they were migraines in the first instance?
I just thought they were bad headaches at first, but then they got worse and worse.
Yeah.
So you figure there have to be something worse than that. And obviously I've had them for so long, they say, well, it can't be like a brain tumour or something like that because you'd be dead by now.
Okay, yeah, well, that's helpful. So they lasted for 3 days usually from what you're describing.
In the early days they did,
usually migraines don't last for any longer than that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. They sound really disabling.
They were.
They made you vomit.
Yeah.
And that's one of the features that often goes
always
with migraines.
Done that.
Yeah, okay. Any other features that you'd like to share with us at this stage?
Mainly that, to be perfectly honest, and the fact that you couldn't stand the smell of cooking and you couldn't literally do anything. So I had to have somebody else look after the kids because I was a single parent.
That's interesting. So a lot of people might describe that they're intolerant of noise.
Yeah.
Was that you?
Yeah, couldn't stand noise, couldn't stand food smells. So I basically couldn't stand the light, and I still can't stand the light when I've got bad, like, headlights. I have to have them horrible dark glasses when I drive on a night. Otherwise, it can make it worse.
Okay. And the nature of the headache itself?
What do you mean?
Where was it?
Normally at the front, like, at the front of my head, generally.
Okay. And what was the nature of it? Was it there constantly, or did it?
In the early days, it was there constantly, like in sharp at first, but then a dull ache.
Would anything that you do seem to make it any worse when it was there?
It just didn't go away. It just seemed to. Now when I get them, and I can have a tablet and it, like, they're sorted out and I'll be fine. I'll be sick a couple of times, still go to work and I'll manage, and other times I can't manage.
Yeah.
It just.
You found some treatments that work for you now, and it's taken a bit of finding to gather. Okay.
I mean, in the early days, we did find something that worked for a good few years, but I think I just got used to it and it stopped working.
That was preventative treatment.
Yeah, that was preventative treatment. But that was probably when I was in my 30s.
Great. We're going to come back to preventative treatment in a minute, because it's wonderful to have your experience of the pros and cons of each approach. But in terms of the treatment and the migraines, a lot of people describe their migraines as being one-sided, but they won't always be.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people describe that kind of tendency to have oversensitivity to light and to sound.
Yeah.
But the nature of the pain, which I was getting at before, some people describe it as being a throbbing.
Can be, at times when it first arrives, it is, but then after that, it's a dull ache.
Do you ever get any warning that they're coming on? Not normally.
No, not normally.
And you've never had any particular problems with your arms or your legs? You've not noticed any symptoms linked with those at all? No tingling or no weakness or numbness or anything like that?
No, nothing like that.
Okay. General health-wise, anything else that the listening audience should know?
No, I'm perfectly fine, perfectly fit. Exercise 3 times a week, eat healthy.
Great, okay. Are you on any medication that we need to know about?
Just my asthma medication.
Okay, and your asthma is well controlled?
My asthma, it was horrendous, but then I lost weight. I lost like 2.5 stone, and I went and I lost weight, exercised, now I exercise regularly. I have no bother with
it. Any idea why that's happened?
Because I was too fat.
Okay, and was there a particular reason why you were getting asthma because of that? Do you understand the mechanism?
Yeah, it was just, obviously, with us being overweight, I was getting chest infections every winter. So I was on steroids every winter.
Yeah.
I was coming in and the doctor was saying, right, do you want 1 set of steroids or 2 set of steroids? And I thought to myself, you can't go on like this.
No, okay. it's interesting, and it's a little bit off the beaten track from yeah. what we're wanting to talk about, but I'll just mention it for the time being, is that some people who are overweight tend to find that they have heartburn, mm-hmm. and they're bringing up...
Never had that.
And sometimes they don't know about it, and that, that potentially can be a trigger for their asthma being worse. But there's other reasons linked with the weight.
Yeah,
I'm going to leave that to one side, and I'm going to go back to the migraine side of things. Now, I haven't particularly got you in to talk about treatments for migraine, but maybe you could just tell me what you take in terms of treatment for migraine.
Well, at the minute, I mean, I don't know the names of the medications and things. You prescribed the ones that I'm taking on a night now. Don't know the names of them, sorry.
That's a preventative treatment. So when you get a migraine, what do you take?
The zolmitriptan.
Zolmitriptans. Mm-hmm. So a triptan of one sort or another, whichever was the most cost-effective one that we've got at the time.
Yes.
And you found that's very effective.
Yeah, the one that dissolves on your tongue is much better.
Okay, well, that's interesting for you. It works well for people, particularly when they vomit.
Yeah.
So if you've got a choice of a swallowing tablet, then you'd often go for that. But oftentimes... chew or whatever your tablet you've got, and potentially leaving it underneath your tongue might help it go in a little bit faster. Mm-hmm. Do you take it with anything else?
No, not generally.
No. Okay. Because some people will find that the triptan medications work better in combination with another simple painkiller.
Right. No, I never take it with anything else.
Have you used any other simple painkillers in the past to help you with a migraine? What have you used?
Sulfadine and things like that I use intermittently when I've just got a headache, because I still get headaches, but don't always develop into migraines.
Let me just clarify what sulpidine is, because sulpidine is a brand name and it doesn't really...
It's codeine.
So it can be a combination of different medications, so you just need to be very cautious.
Paracetamol, something else.
So we wouldn't normally recommend codeine as a treatment for headaches,
right?
Or for migraines. It's not one of our first line, because it can make you prone to a problem called medication overuse headaches.
Right.
So tend to encourage people
to stay away from
codeine for headaches generally. But paracetamol can be very helpful in addition to the triptan. And the other option that a lot of people find is very helpful when they get migraines is an anti-inflammatory painkiller, a non-steroidal anti-inflammatory painkiller. So aspirin works quite well, ibuprofen works quite well, naproxen works quite well. They're probably the safer options of the ones that could be available.
They nobody's ever told me
very
that
easily. So potentially you could take those in addition to what you're using. The downside of them for you, with you being asthmatic, is that they do slightly increase the risk of you having an asthma attack.
Right.
And you would know by now, probably, that taking any of those makes your asthma worse.
Yeah, it does.
It does.
Yeah.
Okay, in that case, steer clear of them for you.
Intermittently, on the whole, my asthma's under control.
Fine.
It's only occasionally.
So maybe the reason that you're having problems before may have been related to taking anti-inflammatory painkillers.
Yeah,
so steer clear, but paracetamol in combination with a triptan sensible.
Right.
And some people also find that they need something for nausea at the same time.
I took an anti-sickness tablet as well when I was taking the non-dissolvables.
And oftentimes what we would do as doctors is we would make sure that it's safe to give you the anti-sickness tablet, and we might do a heart tracing. I'd also probably check with you that you've got no family history of sudden death.
Right.
So people having heart rhythm problems, but that's not you. Nobody in your family's ever had that sort of problem.
Well, my mum does have a heart problem, but she's still alive.
Okay. So to the best of your knowledge, she's not
got
a rhythm problem with her heart.
She's got a heart murmur. Her heart doesn't beat properly type of thing.
Okay. All right. With coming here today, the main thing really was to talk about preventative options, and I'm using you to illustrate the whole range of options that are available. But let's just pretend that you've not made a choice just yet.
Right.
And we'll go through all the choices that are available to you of things that might work in terms of preventing migraine. Can I check with you, did you have any other thoughts about what you wanted me to help you with today?
No, not really, to be fair.
Okay. It's useful to revisit what provokes your migraines, to understand that.
I don't really know what does provoke them, though. That's the thing.
And sometimes it's really difficult to know.
And I never have known.
Yeah. So it's worthwhile keeping a diary. And you can print off a migraine diary from patient.info and collect information over the course of maybe a couple of weeks or so to find out what the triggers could be. But in amongst those potential triggers can be tiredness, So it's
I can't eat sweets and all that.
Ah, okay, that's
interesting. Can't eat sweets.
Okay, so sweets.
Harry Balls are the only ones, and I can only have a few.
Okay.
And I know
that. So you've learned that.
I know that.
Okay, so having regular waking times and bedtimes mm-hmm. makes a difference, and avoiding being overly fatigued and overly stressed is worthwhile. Exercising mm-hmm. regularly can protect you against that, and eating regular light meals can also mm-hmm. protect you as well. But there are triggers that are worthwhile just being aware of as well. Mm-hmm. That so certain alcoholic drinks, not all alcohol, but certain alcoholic drinks can be a trigger. So you've never noticed that yourself.
No.
What about foodstuffs?
Food stuff, it's all like sweet stuff, like chocolates. Yeah, I can eat a little bit, but don't go over the top because it will bring it on if you eat a lot.
Yeah.
I try to avoid orange juice, cheese, that type of thing. Just the things that's going to bring it on, basically.
So you found those things already, okay. So chocolate and cheese, cured meats, caffeine. Mm-hmm. Those are the things that are worthwhile and certainly avoiding. Okay. We're going to talk a bit about diet and about the things that in your diet can have an influence, if that's okay. Have you noticed anything yourself, apart from the sweets?
Just the sweets, really. Nothing else. I mean, I do probably eat cheese, and I probably shouldn't eat cheese, like. But nothing else, really. Nothing that really triggers it.
Because it might be the quantity. There might be the quantity of cheese. So you can probably get away with a bit of cheese or certain types of cheese.
Generally just on the top of things. It's not not normally a lot.
Yeah. Okay, what about the frequency of eating and the type of food that you're eating? Have you noticed anything with that?
Not now, maybe over the years, because I've been very unhealthy over the years, but I'm not now. I'm very healthy now. So very boring.
Generally speaking, as well as recommending those regular meals, it's worthwhile thinking about making sure that you've got some nuts and seeds in your diet.
Because I do spinach smoothies.
Okay, well, that sounds very healthy.
I'm very healthy.
Yeah, so spinach, you're mentioning there.
Yeah.
Having fibre in your breakfast is probably quite important as well. Mm-hmm. So whole grains, spinach, as you mentioned, and making sure that you're having some nuts and seeds in your diet is probably sensible because of the magnesium.
Do protein shakes and things like that.
Okay. There is some evidence for supplements as well. So you can get a supplement called butterbur.
Right.
Now, butterbur is a little bit like a sprout. So you can cook with butterbur.
Right.
So you can have those as well.
Oh, I've never heard of it.
So that's worthwhile thinking about. Right. Or if you prefer to take it in the form of a supplement, it seems to be just as effective.
Right.
So some people don't like the taste of that family of vegetables, so you might prefer to use it as a supplement. So the dose for that, if you were going to try that, and this seems to be working in a better than placebo. So if we were to give you a dummy tablet, mm-hmm. that seems to work in about 25% of people.
Right.
So sometimes we're not sure what's helping and what's not helping. Yeah. But if we give you butterbur in the dose of 75 milligrams twice a day, mm-hmm. that seems to reduce the frequency of migraines in 25% of people. So 50% of people in total, mm-hmm. on top of what's 25% in placebo. So it's worth a go. Okay. And side effects are pretty rare. Okay, we don't recommend using that in pregnancy, however. Not that that's a consideration at the moment for you. Okay. There has been some work done in acupuncture. It seems to be a little bit better than placebo, so 10% better than placebo.
Right.
Side effects are rare with that, mm-hmm. but it's not very accessible on the NHS.
Yeah.
And we usually recommend that if you're going to give it a go, you give it a go for 10 sessions, and if it's not helped after that, then forget about it.
Right.
Okay. There are some other interesting potential supplements that you might want to try out, which again seem to be pretty harmless and may be very beneficial.
Right.
The most available ones to you over the counter are going to be riboflavin, and taking a riboflavin supplement of between 25 and 400 milligrams a day is said to help one in two people.
Right.
So it improves your chances of getting better above placebo. All right. But the downside of riboflavin is it could cause your urine to turn a darker colour, potentially orange or red.
Right.
And occasionally, particularly with the higher doses, you might be prone to being a bit looser with your bowels.
Right.
So nuisance side effects, you can always reduce the dose.
Yeah.
So worth a trial in some people.
Right.
And they can certainly cut down the risk of you having migraine at a very low risk to you.
Yeah.
And the other supplement that you might also have heard about is coenzyme Q10.
Yeah, I think I've heard about that.
And the dose of that would be 100 milligrams three times a day, and that seems to help in one in three people above placebo.
Right.
So that's worthwhile considering as well.
Yeah.
Again, potentially it could cause mild side effects, but I think that the side effects are going to be self-limiting.
Yeah.
Good. Okay, perhaps before we go on to the rest of the medications that are out there and the evidence in favour or against them, mm-hmm. perhaps you could tell me a little bit more about what you've already tried.
What haven't I tried? Tried all sorts over the years. Like I say, I don't know the names of them and things. Some have worked, some have made us horrendous, like give us anxiety, which was horrendous. Off work for about a week with those.
Can you remember which ones they were?
I can't. No.
Okay. Well, I'm maybe
no good with medications and things.
I can maybe take you through them and tell you what's likely to have potentially caused these
problems.
I've
never had anxiety in my life, and I was just horrendous with that one.
Mm.
Most of the others just didn't do anything.
Mm.
Just didn't work, apart from the one that I used to take years ago that worked. Can't even remember what that was called. But other than that, I've tried loads of different things. They work for a little while, but then. But you're still getting them at least once every 2 to 3 weeks.
It's quite interesting what you said to me earlier on, which is that your migraines started when your children arrived.
Mm-hmm.
So you were fine during pregnancy.
Yeah.
And we tend to find that, generally speaking, during pregnancy, migraines are much less of a problem. But we do have to be really careful.
Mm-hmm.
If people are having frequent migraines during pregnancy, we've got to make sure that we use medications that are safe for pregnancy,
yeah.
And that's difficult for us to be 100% certain about. Mm-hmm. But generally speaking, what we recommend during pregnancy and also during breastfeeding is we give you the ones which are safest, that we've got the most experience with,
mm-hmm.
and have the best chances of being successful, but they're not licensed for use in pregnancy,
right.
And it is a little bit of, there is a bit of uncertainty, but it seems to be, if we have to use a preventative treatment in pregnancy, that the beta blocker propranolol
mm-hmm.
seems to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And low-dose amitriptyline, which originally was developed as an antidepressant,
mm-hmm.
and we now, although it's not licensed for use as a treatment for migraine,
mm-hmm.
we regularly use it, and
yeah.
it's as effective as most of the other medications for migraine prevention.
Mm-hmm.
And they seem to have a good safety record, so
yeah.
that's worthwhile knowing about. Okay, so generally speaking, if you've tried a treatment for prevention of migraine, we normally need to keep you on it for a couple of months to know whether it's helpful or not.
Yeah, that's how it's gone on. This has gone on for years.
But we always say to you when you take a new medication that if you're having unacceptable side effects, then stop it. And we try and predict the future for
mm-hmm.
you to try and tell you what you're watching out for
yeah.
and what sort of things could be potentially a problem for you in the future. So we're going to go through some of those options for you at the moment. And I think you've probably tried most of them from what you've described
yeah.
and also from having looked at your records before. So that's helpful just to get your experience. So the first one that most people historically have gone to is a beta blocker.
I think they're what they put us on originally, I think.
Which is unusual in your case because you're asthmatic.
Mm-hmm.
And although...
But the same thing, I've never had asthma all my life either. That just developed when I was late 20s, early 30s.
I wonder if we found out about that when you first used your beta blockers.
Yeah, probably.
And then you started
I've never had that all my life.
Yeah. So we always say, when we're starting beta blockers, that it can have side effects.
Mm-hmm.
And in particular, we shouldn't be using it in people that have got asthma,
mm-hmm.
although we can use them safely in people that have got COPD, which is the
right.
smoker's equivalent
yeah.
of asthma. And that seems to be quite an effective treatment for some people with COPD.
Mm-hmm.
But for the sake of asthma, we should be really avoiding it. And so, but sometimes we find that we diagnose people with asthma because they get wheezy.
Yeah.
So if you get wheezy with propranolol, stop using it. And what does propranolol do? Well, it works by slowing your heart down, not on the migraine, but it works by different mechanisms. For the sake of the migraine,
mm-hmm.
It has an independent mechanism of action. But one of the things that happens with the beta blockers is they slow the heart down.
Right.
And in slowing the heart down, they can initially make you less able to respond to the need to exercise.
Right.
So if you had to run for a bus, you might not be so capable of doing it.
Right.
So that some people do notice that, particularly when we're increasing the dose too quickly. So
yeah.
we tend to increase the dose quite slowly when we're doing that. Quite a helpful treatment if you've got high blood pressure,
mm-hmm.
but that's not you.
Yeah.
So you might want to use a beta blocker if you've got high blood pressure as
yeah.
well. And some people find that slowing the heart rate helps them cope better if they're aware of the heart beating.
Yes.
So if
yeah.
they've got palpitations or anxiety
yeah.
symptoms. So sometimes that's a good choice in that respect. You've got your experience with beta blockers, and I'm going to tell you about some of the other drawbacks.
Mm-hmm.
What made you stop them?
I think it's just they weren't working. Like I say, at the time I was in a different position. I was overweight, and I think probably the asthma, that was another thing as well.
Yeah, I was going to say probably the wheeze was the critical thing, wasn't it? And some people find that it can affect their hands and feet and make them more prone to the cold. That doesn't tend to be a problem during the summer, but in the winter time, that can be something that the needs are not happy to carry on with it. And it can affect people's sleep patterns as well and make them less able to sleep properly. So that's a thing to bear in mind. You tend to find the side effects are less likely to happen on the lower doses.
Right.
The lower doses might be almost as effective for preventing migraine as the higher doses. Right. So it's worthwhile trying a lower dose first and then slowly increasing it. So the normal starting dose for propranolol would be 20 milligrams twice a day.
Right.
And that will help in about one in four people above the placebo.
Right.
The next one we're going to talk about is possibly the one that you had where you had some nasty side effects. Mm-hmm. So topiramate works really well, and it works on several levels really well. So again, it works in one in four people above placebo.
Yeah.
And it helps people lose weight.
Yeah, I do remember him saying something about that, yeah.
Yeah. So that could be a positive, but it has some side effects which might not be so desirable. So we wouldn't recommend it to you if there's any chance you're getting pregnant.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing. It can affect your appetite, which we've already mentioned. It affects your appetite and your weight. Mm-hmm. So we wouldn't use it in people that are underweight.
Yeah.
And it can affect your memory.
Right.
And it can cause tingling. And it can affect your taste as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if you remember any of those problems yourself.
Yeah, I do. Actually, now you're saying them, I do. Definitely. The tingling, I remember that. And the fact that I didn't feel like I was me.
Yeah.
The time that I was on them at all.
Again, I'd always usually recommend going for a tiny dose first and making sure you tolerate it well, and then you can always increase the dose. Mm-hmm. You'll often find the smaller the dose, you'll get just as much benefit without the side effects and the risks from it.
But I do think I made my side effects worse because I just stopped taking them.
Yeah.
Okay. And he said I shouldn't have just stopped taking them, so that just accelerated the side effects, which made it worse.
Okay.
So...
What, the migraines came back worse?
No, the side effects were worse. The tingling, the shaking, the anxiety.
I was going to say
it got worse.
Probably all of that probably made you feel like fairly anxious in the first place.
It did.
And then having to stop the medication probably made you feel even more terrified.
I think I didn't make the situation any better.
No. Anyway, another one that you tried out and didn't really hit home and didn't really have the desired effect either because you couldn't take them for long enough to actually get some benefit. Okay. And we're going to come on to a couple of other ones which don't have a license but are used very commonly.
Right.
You mentioned to me when I last saw you that you'd tried amitriptyline and you tried it on a couple of occasions because I think we thought that it might be particularly helpful for you. Perhaps if you could just tell me about your experience of that.
I think the amitriptyline, it just didn't really seem to have much effect for me whatsoever. The trouble is, they all blur into one. That's your problem when you take one. They do all blur into one, but I just don't think it worked for me.
I think you highlighted that you were a bit drowsy with it.
Yeah.
And that actually...
A lot of them made you quite drowsy.
Yeah. And that actually is a positive thing for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people, we choose amitriptyline if they're struggling to get off to sleep.
Mm-hmm.
But the crucial thing with amitriptyline is not to go too high with the dose too quickly, because... Some people are really sensitive to it. So we tend to start with 10 milligram tablets. And if you find you're too drowsy when you wake up in the mornings, then we say half it, use a pill cutter to cut them up, or even quarter it until you get the right dose so that you're actually getting a decent night's sleep without feeling too dry in the mouth, because that's one of the common side effects, and too drowsy first thing in the morning. But enough rest so to allow you to sleep better on a night. So it helps you to sleep. Incidentally, it also helps with chronic pain conditions as well, so that can be really helpful for all sorts of conditions, including fibromyalgia and chronic pains of all sorts of origins. The benefit in terms of migraine does take a wee while to start to kick home in terms of preventing migraine. But again, it only works above placebo in one in four people.
Right.
So there's still three or four people that probably aren't getting any more improvement than they would do if they were on placebo.
Yeah.
So good for insomnia, good for pain. Consider having a really low dose. Watch out for the dryness of the mouth, in which case lower the dose. Watch out potentially for blurred vision. And in older people, it can represent something of a risk of disorientation, particularly on a night time.
Right.
So we don't like to use too high a dose in people that are prone to falling if they're getting up at night. And it is dangerous if people are going to be taking that in overdose. So we wouldn't want to give it to somebody who was inclined to take overdoses or was likely to be suicidal at any stage. So we do check about that before prescribing it. We've got a list of a few other ones that I'm just going to cover in due course, but I just wanted to check with you if you had any memory of any other particular ones that you've tried.
I don't think so, no. Like I say, they all kind of blur into one. A lot of them give you dry mouths. A lot of them make you drowsy.
Mm.
And a lot of them just don't work. Not for me, anyway.
No, okay.
Probably for other people, possibly.
Well, let's make another suggestion for people that were looking for something that was safe. Because I think safety is sometimes a priority.
Definitely.
So safe and also as effective as any of the other measures that we've already mentioned. And I want to highlight those lifestyle and alternative therapies because most of those are completely safe and worthwhile a go and very cost effective. But when you're talking about things that your doctor can prescribe for you, then one of the really safe options is a tablet that we usually use for blood pressure.
Mm-hmm.
We also use it for keeping people's hearts going if they have a problem called heart failure.
Mm-hmm.
So a tablet called Candesartan and the family of Candesartan, they're designed originally to lower blood pressure, but they actually help one in four people with migraine.
I don't recognise that name.
The only inconvenience with them, because they're very unlikely to cause significant side effects, potentially you might find that when you stand up quickly, you could feel lightheaded, particularly when you first go on them. But that's an uncommon side effect, particularly if you're increasing the dose too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
With that medication, we would need to do a blood test every year.
Mm-hmm.
And we do that blood test to make sure that your kidneys are okay.
Right.
Just in case your kidney blood flow has been affected by this tablet.
Right.
So we do that on a regular basis. And we would also recommend when you're on that medication that if you have an episode of diarrhea, vomiting, or have a fever that goes on for 24 hours or longer, then you'd need to stop that medication temporarily.
Right.
Another medication that's really worthwhile thinking about because it's safe and because it seems to be very effective. So better than placebo, and it helps one in four people.
Right.
So as you can see, most of these are only helping one in four people above placebo.
Yes.
So we're often in a position where we're having to chop and change and try different things.
Yeah.
And we're trying to fit in with what you're prepared to put up with in terms of risks.
Yeah.
And if you're at risk of becoming pregnant, do we need to put you on something that would be safe in pregnancy?
Yeah.
Those sort of things, those sort of considerations. So we're coming well down the list now to some other choices that are rarely used, to be quite frank with you, but I'm going to share with you those options as well. More used in children these days than in adults, but we used to use it extensively back in the day, a tablet called pizotifen.
Yeah,
you've tried that. You probably don't remember the details of the side effects you had with that, I guess.
No, I don't remember the side effects. I just remember that one being quite effective. It was one that sticks in my memory for being quite effective, but it was a long time ago.
Did you have any side effects with it at all that you're aware of?
Not that I can remember. Not anything really bad anyway.
Okay. It's worthwhile being aware that the most common side effects... So, first of all, it works in one in three people.
Mm-hmm.
So it works quite well.
It's
really quite
an
effective medication. So one in three people better than placebo. It's more likely that it's going to work in people that get vertigo with their migraine.
Right.
So a particular variant of migraine where you get spinning, a continuous spinning. Not just spinning when you turn your head and last for a few seconds, but spinning that just keeps on going and going and going for hours often.
Yeah.
Certainly more than a few minutes. Then it can be helpful in that variant. We still use it a reasonable amount in children, but much less so in adults.
Right.
And the main issues really related to its use is that it causes people to gain weight, and that's not popular. It increases, increases their appetite. It can cause drowsiness.
Mm-hmm.
So you take it on a night.
Mm-hmm.
It causes sometimes dryness of the mouth, a bit of nausea as well. So we don't tend to use it so much in adults anymore. But it's a useful thing for people that have tried everything else.
Exactly.
And two other ones which are also well down the list, a tablet called sodium valproate. Again, wouldn't use that if you're potentially going to get pregnant because it's very dangerous in pregnancy. And 15% of people, when they use this, have significant side effects. And that's usually dizziness, vertigo, tremor, nausea, all of these things. So they can have really quite significant side effects. On the bright side, it's quite an effective treatment. It, for those people that have tried everything else and really need something,
the side effects.
Then it may help one in three people. So that's worthwhile considering.
Just and it's bad enough having the migraines without having the side effects as well.
Exactly. So we're looking for quality of life, and sometimes the side effects aren't going to affect everybody.
No,
and it's down to the dose, and you'd start with a low dose and then slowly increase the dose until you got benefit from migraine without getting the side effects. Lastly, and not least by any stretch of the imagination, but not used very commonly in modern practice, is a magnesium supplement. So magnesium citrate, and taking 600 milligrams daily, helps one in four people.
Right.
It's a really good choice for people that are a bit constipated.
Right.
And clearly the side effect that you get with it is you tend to go to the toilet more frequently. So diarrhea is very common. It might be a good idea because of that to think about using a smaller dose in the first instance and see how you go with that. Okay.
Otherwise you'll spend all day on the toilet.
Yeah exactly. and there's no reason why it's a dose-related thing. There's no reason why you couldn't go increase the dose until you got to a point where you're happy with your bowel function. So that's another possibility for you.
Yeah.
I know you've already come to a decision, but I'm just going to go over that decision with you again.
Right,
so perhaps if you could just refresh my memory what we talked about last time.
Like I say, I'm no good with the names of things, but basically you've given us a preventative one, which helps me sleep as well.
Yeah.
At the minute, I'm on 1.5 tablets, which seems to be working.
It's called nortriptyline.
Right.
And amitriptyline didn't suit you. Nortriptyline is also quite suitable for people that need to sleep, but it does have the same potential for causing dryness of the mouth. But it's strange that a medication like nortriptyline, which is from the same family as amitriptyline, works differently and has different side effects in different people.
Right.
So sometimes you just have to try these things and just see how you get on. But starting on a tiny dose and then slowly increasing.
I mean, I've been on it for about 3 weeks now. Can't say I've noticed many side effects, to be perfectly honest. And my migraines are subsiding. They're not as bad as they were.
Just remind me of the frequency before you went on.
I mean, when I came to you the first time, I was having them. I was being sick 5 times a week. And I was having a migraine probably 2 to 3 times a week. Whereas now I've had one once since I saw you last week.
Okay.
So they are subsiding.
It's worthwhile me emphasising what I mean by a benefit in migraine treatment. So the measurements that we're taking and the evidence that we're using that we've presented together means that where we're describing we have to treat four people for one to get benefit, and that one person gets a 50% improvement in the frequency of their migraines. So that's a substantial improvement in how often the migraines come.
Yeah.
But inevitably, we find that they're less severe migraines too. So that's the measuring point.
Yeah.
So you sound that as if this particular medication, which it's taken a long time to find the right medication for you, seems to be good on two scores. The first is that you're not having significant side effects. It seems to be a safe choice of treatment. You've got no thoughts of self-harm. And we do need to be aware that it can cause some side effects in some people. You've not noticed it affecting your appetite or anything like that.
No, not really.
And it rarely does, to be fair.
Yeah.
But in terms of benefit, it seems to be doing it in the marks. There's no reason why you can't take this long term. The good news about migraines is that they tend to get better. The older you get, we do tend to find that they tend to resolve. So over a period of 10 years, we find that 40% of people get better, no matter what we do. 40% actually go away completely, no matter what we do. And 20% potentially will get a little bit worse.
Yeah. I just don't think 10 years ago, doctors took it as seriously as they do now.
Well, it's probably because
you were fobbed off. You would, try this, try that.
Yeah.
Whereas now people sit down and they talk to you, and you do go through your lifestyle, go through what you eat and what can cause it.
Yeah.
Just didn't take it as serious then.
Well, I think we've got more options now, and we understand the pros and cons with the various different approaches. And I think there were medications that were being tried at that time, and that's all it was until we got trial evidence to suggest, and a lot of people have put a lot of work into preparing this information to be able to share with you.
Yeah.
But the luxury of sitting down and having 20, 30 minutes to talk to you is not something that I can replicate realistically in my GP surgery every day. But what I can do is to say, okay, I'd like you to have a wee listen to me talking to another patient through all the options that might be available. And then that might help you choose what would suit you.
Yeah.
And then you can come back to your own doctor and say, look, I've listened to this and I quite like the sound of this. This sounds as if it might work for me. I want to give that a go. Or even before that point, you can actually look at the lifestyle measures, the things that, so keep a migraine diary, think about the things that, you're happy to change in your lifestyle that might have an impact. Do that. And then think about whether or not you want to try some of these alternative remedies. So the riboflavin supplements that can help in, as I said, one in two people above placebo. And the coenzyme Q10. Again, these seem to have pretty high success rates on the face of things and seem to be pretty safe. And there are other options that, might include the butterbur supplements as well. Okay. You found a solution for you. Out of the other things that we've talked about today, does any of, the other stuff interest you?
I'm just going to keep on what I'm doing at the moment. Hopefully, the will decrease a little bit more so I can cope a little bit better and just carry on what I'm doing. But a healthy lifestyle makes a big difference.
Can I just check what you mean by a healthy lifestyle and what are the things that you've actually already changed that's impacted upon your...
Stop eating food that's bad for you, basically, or if you do, eat it in moderation. Exercise regularly. Put fruit. I know the bang on about fruit and veg, but it makes a difference. It does make a difference. I'm so healthier now than I've been in my whole life.
Fabulous. Okay, you mentioned sugars. That's a particular trigger for you.
Yeah, I can't touch sugar.
That's very sensible. Good. Okay, I think we should wrap it up then.
Right.
Let's hear it for our GP. Improving risk.